Welcome everyone to Balance Your Life podcast. My name is Megan Farrell and I'm the host of this podcast and the creator of Balance by Megan. On this podcast, we talk about all things yoga, wellness, health, and spirituality with guests from around the world. So grab your crystals, grab your essential oils, and let's dive into it.
Funny thing, if you're not picking up the signs from the universe, because it's kind of giving you these little flicks like, hey, are you listening? Are you listening? And then if you don't listen, all of a sudden it's like, bam, I told you.
That was a clip from our guest of the show, Steph Wood. Happy Monday, everyone. I hope everyone had a great weekend. If you were celebrating Thanksgiving like the rest of us in Canada, I hope you enjoyed your shorter week this week. My name is Megan Farrell. I'm the host of this podcast, creator of Balance by Megan. I'm an essential oils lover, crystal junkie, and wellness advocate. I also teach yoga and meditation internationally as well as locally. Before we dive into today's episode with Steph, a quick few announcements. This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Clarity, Connection, and Confidence, my one-on-one coaching program. If you are a modern millennial babe struggling with depression and anxiety, feeling alone and disconnected, and really unsure of your life purpose, then this is the program for you. Think of it as a personal yoga teacher training, but a deeper dive into your mind, body, and soul connection. You'll walk away with tools to help you stress less, feel good in your body, feel emotionally balanced, confident in yourself, and knowing your self-worth, plus live a life with no regrets. You can email me, info@balancebymegan.com, and let me know you are interested in the program, and we will hop on a call to make sure this is the right fit for you. This episode of the podcast is also brought to you by Mala Prayer. Mala Prayer was established with the goal of creating high-quality, handmade mala bead necklaces, bracelets, and wellness items with an emphasis of empowering women around the world. Each purchase provides women entrepreneurs access to microfinance loans to invest in their business, community, and homes. Use my code BALANCEBYMEGAN20 to receive 20% off your order. BALANCEBYMEGAN20, all one word, to receive 20% off of your order, and go get yourself a new mala necklace. Now on to today's episode. Steph Wood is a 200-hour registered yoga teacher, certified wellness coach, and manages a float tank, so we get more into the benefits of float therapy in this episode. Steph has a passion for health and wellness and specializes in Learn Series yoga for people who have never been on their mat before. She has practiced yoga for 17 years now and loves to see transformation that happens in her students. Without further ado, please welcome Steph Wood to the Balance Your Life podcast. Welcome to the show, Steph. I'm so excited to have you here.
Excited to be here. It's quite an honor and opportunity.
Yeah, that's so amazing. Thank you for that. So we have a lot of international listeners. Can you tell us where in the world you are calling us from today?
I am calling from Curtis, Ontario, about 45 minutes from Toronto.
Yeah, nice. Curtis is such a nice area. I used to live out in Bowmanville.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. It's a nice little area. It's still like city-like, but you actually have property and you're not shaking your neighbor's hand outside of your house.
Exactly. I find that you can be at your friend's farm in 2 minutes, but also at a huge mall in Oshawa. So
it's a nice little area.
Location. Yeah.
Perfect. So we were talking previous to doing this podcast, but I want to get into your background. So can you let everyone know what you do for a living?
So I'm a yoga teacher. I have affiliated myself with a few local wellness businesses where I work out of as well. And I also manage a sensory deprivation tank, or a float tank, if you will. And we can talk a little bit about that going forward.
Yeah, I was so excited when I found out that you did that, because on a personal level, I want to learn more about it. And I'm sure everybody else is like,
A, what is that? It sounds cool. Or B, I've heard of that. I want to know the benefits of it. So we'll definitely get into that. But how did your yoga journey start for you?
So my first class was when I think I was probably around 13. My mom kind of dragged me to one of her yoga classes, and I mean, it was fun. It was different. I grew up a competitive dancer, so I understood how important it was to move and connect with your body. So from there, I kind of used yoga as a little bit of an offset to my dance training, just using different muscles in certain ways. And then when things really kicked off, I was in university going through a little bit of an emotional time, just with the stress of school and everything. I didn't like what I was studying. I didn't like the school I was going to. And just practicing yoga kind of helped me escape from that a little bit. Not only escape, but just help manage what I was going through. It wasn't until I had graduated university and ended up in a job that I didn't go to school for. It wasn't aligned with my passions at all whatsoever. I found it really hard to kind of meet my coworkers and my employers on a level that they needed me to be at, just because and everybody knew it, my passions were lying elsewhere. It wasn't the place for me. The commute was just absolutely awful. It got to the point where I understood that I needed to do something else because I couldn't handle life in corporate. So that's when I kind of decided I would sign up for yoga teacher training at a local studio, kind of near where I was living at the time. And that's just kind of where I completely transformed.
Amazing. I love all of this so much. And I'm gonna take us a little bit off on a tangent because I think this is something that a lot of people are going through and they need to kind of hear that they're not alone in this. I went to school for something I did not love. You would be so good at it. You should do it. And I did it. Oh man, I went in through such a dark hole. Just out of curiosity, what did you go to school for?
Well, I went to school for psychology, anthropology, and health studies, which is exactly where I wanted to be. However, I started, looking for jobs in that field and nothing was coming up. So I ended up just being so grateful that I was offered a job, a full-time job, and I took whatever was thrown at me because I understood as a functioning human being, I needed to have a job, right? So ended up taking something that just wasn't what I was really aligned with.
Yeah, it's so hard. I know exactly where you're coming from. I went to school for early childhood education because I generally like kids. I like being around them. And I didn't know what to do with myself after. And everyone's like, well, you should do ECE. You have so many routes to go through after, which is not true. You have daycare or the school board. And I found myself in a daycare and I hated it. And it made me so resentful of being there because I'm like, I generally like kids. And I did not enjoy the politics of being in a daycare. I did not, everybody was kind of for themselves there. It was like not a community type of atmosphere. I mean, I only put up with it for a year and a half. I know people who have done it a lot longer. Everyone jokes that I kind of like retired at the age of 26 because I was like, F this, I'm not doing it. Yeah, that's so amazing. So you were practicing yoga throughout this time just as a way to find some stress relief and a little bit of an outlet?
Yeah, basically, I had a backpack full of coping mechanisms because I had to, or else, everybody's going to remember that day that Steph snapped at the office, right? So, and what was really interesting is like everybody knew I shouldn't be there, even like my director, my boss, and they knew I was kind of snapping at one point just because, I had applied for three different promotions and got turned down for all of them. When I was more than qualified, just it just didn't the universe was not aligning, and it got to that point where I started to understand why it wasn't aligning. It's because I was meant for something a little bit different, and my employers were actually really supportive. I got pulled into an office one time and we just had a very transparent conversation, my director and I. And she was like, okay, so, you know, everyone knows that you're a yoga girl and you're probably not supposed to be here. And it was that time where I was just like, wow, you know, these people really do want the best for me, but it's not going to be here. And I'm not going to be living my best life and doing my best work here. And so my boss actually pulled me into an office, and this was the turning point. And I'm not going to just to kind of protect her identity, let's call her Lulu. So she's like, basically, pretend I'm not boss Lulu. Pretend I'm human Lulu. And it was the most humanistic corporate thing I have seen. Yeah, I know. Because it was like, wow. And she's just like, what do you want to do? And I said, well, to be very fair, I have a passion for health and wellness. It's what I went to school for.
Wow, that's so amazing.
It was quite supportive, but yeah. It got to the point where there was a tipping point. I could no longer make the commute anymore, and I could not show up for 9 hours at a job that I had no passion for, because it really shows, right?
Yeah, absolutely. No, I couldn't agree more with you on all of that. I think that's so nice that your boss was very willing to have that conversation.
Yeah.
I was not I went two very different routes before I settled on yoga. Mm-hmm. My daycare area was not supportive at all. The last place I worked at was a private investigative and security firm, which is totally out of the realm of, like, I went to school for something else after ECE, so it kind of aligned with that a little bit. It was for victimology.
Oh.
And I loved the team I worked for. I rave about them to this day. They were an incredible team. It was a smaller family business. And I had always wanted to be a cop, so it kind of lined up with how I wanted to get into the industry. And as I realized I was doing the work, I realized that I was reacting to things that had happened. So I wasn't able to help prevent or give people the tools to prevent things from getting out of control. I was just helping them after things had blown up in their face and they were trying to get their life back on track. And I was like, yeah, I still want to help people, but I think I want to give them the tools to do it rather than be the person there afterwards for them and trying to help them pick their lives back up.
Right. And did you find that you were picking up on a lot of secondary trauma?
Yeah, it was hard. I mean, without getting too much into what we did, I'm not allowed to fully speak about it, but we dealt with like a lot of murder cases. There was a lot of kidnapping. I did some background screening. So we dealt with like terrorism stuff.
Yeah.
And it was just like, I was always bombarded by the news. I don't have the news at all anymore. My mom says it's like ignorance, but I'm like, no, if I can't help the immediate situation or contribute any sort of guidance to it, I don't want to know about it. Like I can't do anything. So I don't want to see it. I don't want to be bombarded by it.
And that's totally understandable, right?
Yeah. I mean, the team was amazing and it made all of that so awesome, but there was no getting away from like, okay, you're dealing with really sensitive issues and you're just there to, sometimes you can't even help them. You're like just that guide to like point them in the right direction. And okay, you got to do this now. This happened to you, so now you need to go through all of this. And yeah, it was a little hard to be in. Again, I only did that for 2 years and I was like, bye.
Yeah, peace. See you later.
Yeah. So what made you decide that you wanted to take your yoga teacher training?
Well, it was basically one of those things where, you know, I'm realizing that I can't do what I'm doing forever. I need either a side hustle or, you know, to fully dive into wellness. So from there, I actually ended up getting hired at another job in corporate. It was a little bit more to do with health studies. It was life insurance. And very, very quickly, I began to fall into that same slump with, you know, that little depression period I was going through. And it was kind of challenging because I felt like it was this never ending cycle of, I'm just going to jump from one job to another job to another job and be unhappy.
Mm-hmm.
And I always tell people that, you know, it's a really, really funny thing. If you're not picking up the signs from the universe, because it's kind of giving you these little flicks like, hey, are you listening? Are you listening? And then if you don't listen, all of a sudden it's like, bam, I told you. So I ended up being walked out of that job. And I think they were really confused because the day I was walked out, I was like all smiles. I was like, you know, it was great getting to know you guys. Thanks. Shaking everyone's hand. I think a lot of people, when they're let go from a job, they get into a bit of a depression or maybe find a bit of lack of self-worth. And this was my time to shine. I just used this as an opportunity to finally be like, yes, universe, I'm listening. This is what I have to do now. So what I ended up doing is through yoga, you make so many friends. You have this huge, huge network. Like weirdly enough, you and I went to the same high school, right? And then found you on Facebook and it was like, oh, look at that. You're into yoga too. So it's a really small network, but it's actually a really big network too. Mm-hmm. And before I left the parking lot that day, I had called up somebody that I knew and I had a job driving out of that.
Wow.
So, I mean, it's one of those things where when you're in corporate or when you're in a job that is just not in alignment with your passions, you kind of have to use coping mechanisms, coping techniques to be able to just go to work the next day, right?
Yeah.
So I really tried to use a positive mindset to kind of be able to show up to work every day. And, you know, realizing that I'm so lucky to have the gas in my car to make it to work. I'm so lucky to have a car to be able to get to work. I'm so lucky that I get to sit here for 9 hours and do my job, because there's a lot of people who don't have those things. So while my situation was not completely ideal, it was just my coping mechanism, like unpacking my backpack of tools. How can I get through another day in a situation that may not be really gelling, right?
Yeah, it's so amazing. I was listening to a podcast with, do you know who Jay Shetty is?
I heard the name.
He's the, he's like the Indian guy with like the beautiful blue eyes. He's like a younger guy. Yeah. Everyone, yeah. The Indian guy with blue eyes. Yeah, I know who it is.
Yeah.
Right. He was talking about when he worked in corporate and he knew it wasn't the job for him, but he kept coming back to this mindset of, everything that I'm learning at this job is giving me tools to go off and do something I like. I have to learn how to work with a team. This is all going to be beneficial because at some point I'd like to have my own team. I need to do customer service. So this is good because now I know how to deal with people and how to respond to them.
Exactly.
And I think when you flip the script on that, you're right. You find gratitude, and maybe it's not the best job or your passion, but if you have it right now and if you have an end goal in mind, you can kind of say, okay, right now I'm learning skills. I'm learning skills that will help me and take me further into life.
And I always tell my students, you are exactly where you need to be right now. You know, the universe has this plan for you. And a lot of times you're questioning, you're always questioning like, why did this happen? But a lot of things happen for a reason. And I know it sounds so cliche, but once you kind of look back and realize that there was a reason for these, you know, dips and highs, it's all about that journey, right?
Yeah, that's so good. So you decide you're going to take your teacher training. Mm-hmm. What was it like for you to go through all of that? You have your 200 hours?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then obviously other little trainings, because as you know, as yoga teachers, we are students. We continuously educate ourselves, and so it was such a period of transformation for me. Just learning a lot of things about myself, learning a lot of things about other people, and you know how they work, how I work and interact with them. So it was just like an absolutely a huge transformation in my life. I always think about it as my life before yoga teacher training and then my life after.
There's like this light bulb that goes off, and it's a very pivotal point where you're like, you can see the light after everything has happened.
Oh yeah, totally. And you know, just learning everything about speaking your truth, mindfulness, awareness, and really, you know, how deep my passion for wellness ran.
That's amazing. So your intention going into teacher training was to eventually teach yoga?
Yes. I trained with about 8 people. And this just actually reinforced how deep my passion was. Out of the 8 people, I am the only person who continues to teach.
Wow. Okay.
I mean, whatever reason it is for you signing up for yoga teacher training is fantastic, you know, because you'll learn so much over the 7 months or over the 1 month intensive or however you're signing up or showing up. My biggest thing was, you know, there were a few people who had no intention to teach. They wanted to sign up to prove to themselves that they could do it, or that they could not speak publicly in front of people, and they signed up to get over that fear. So there's a lot of different reasons that people sign up for YTT. Mm-hmm. And one of my things was I cannot be in corporate for the rest of my life.
Okay. Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, and I mean, I get so much benefit from teaching others as well as my own practice that, you know, I just wanted to spread that to others. And they always say in yoga teacher training, find your niche, find your niche. And I had no idea what my niche was. You know, I don't think I'm super, you know, talented in the way of, you know, teaching elderly or children. And I couldn't come up with my niche. And then all of a sudden one day I started a learn series, people who have never been on their mat before.
Okay.
People recovering from injury and just trying to get back into their practice, or people who have practiced yoga for years, but just want more of a solid foundation of why we do what we do, why we breathe the way we do, you know, little, you know, concepts like ahimsa, and trying to learn a little bit more about Sanskrit or philosophy. And so I created this course basically for that type of person.
Oh, I love it. I did not know that. That's so amazing. Do you teach that out of a local studio?
Yeah, so I run Learn Series out of 2 places that I am affiliated with. One being In the Spirit Yoga. It's a yoga and wine lounge.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. We have our liquor license. We've got some money. You can come in for wine, you can come in for yoga, or you can come in for both. And I run this series. So, you know, we get a lot of people who have never done yoga before, a lot of people who are sick or injured, a lot of people who have been in corporate, you know, are still dealing with those after effects. So I feel so blessed to really be able to provide that. And I also offer it out of the Wellness Path in Bowmanville.
Oh, very cool. Very cool. I think that's so awesome. It's amazing how for me too, like I'm working right now, I have a private clients who are beginners, and I always kind of was like, oh, like I tend to attract the beginners. I tend to go into people who are very new to the yoga world. And yeah, it's amazing to see things click for them, or to know that yoga is not about, I find it goes two way. It's not about just sitting in a cross-legged position, chanting Om in a dark room for hours on end. And it's also not standing on your head for an hour. Like, I find beginners kind of go towards those two extremes. They don't know that it's like this lifestyle. And yes, typically when you go into a studio, there's some sort of, well, there is a workout aspect to it or a stretching aspect to it, but it's also teaching them that it's this lifestyle that you carry off of the mat as well.
Yeah, exactly. I always say, you know, when we're doing balancing postures, learn to balance on your mat so you can take that into everyday life with you.
Yeah.
It is a lifestyle, you know, just understanding the concept of ahimsa, non-harm to yourself, non-harm to your body, not harming others, you know, being aware of the words that come out of your mouth, that just everything to do with not harming anybody else or anything else.
Yeah, I love that. That's so good. Amazing. So you're teaching yoga. You've developed this new program that you teach out of 2 studios. Is there anything else that you practice as a health and wellness practice in your life?
So I also created a class called Ballet Booty Yoga.
Aha, cool.
It's really fun. It's a high energy class. A lot of people kind of see the word ballet and they kind of freak out a little bit, like, I'm a non-dancer, I don't dance. And it's really just taking the strength and coordination of a ballet class or a bar class, if you will.
Okay.
And we do, it's very similar to like 20-20-20. So we'll do 20 minutes of ballet training, 20 minutes of a very high energy, upbeat, shaking your booty, very similar to a Soca Size or a Zumba class. And then we do a vinyasa, so a very flowy 20 minutes of yoga to end.
Cool. That's amazing.
Yeah, so it's really fun. I also practice that or teach that out of In the Spirit, which is in Scarborough, and then the Wellness Path as well. It's really interesting. It's like a multidisciplinary center, health and wellness center, if you will. So many things like acupuncture, RMTs, intuitive health, and also yoga. We had personal training at one point. Just a lot of different people coming in together to help out the community, basically. And that's where the float tank is operating out of.
Yeah, let's dive into that a little bit too, because that's such an interesting segue into like the wellness field that a lot of people maybe don't know about, or maybe it's starting to pop up a little bit more, or maybe it's always been present and I've just started to notice it more, but I feel like it's still a relatively new concept. So how did that come into play for you?
With the wellness center that I work at, the Wellness Path in Bowmanville, we have this concept that really we want people to come to the center and be able to just let go of everything that they're dealing with. So we have a lot of wellness practitioners that help physically, emotionally, spiritually, and we decided that around the beginning of the year that we would be getting a float tank, because the director and I really enjoyed floating. We had like occasionally gone to other centers and experienced this complete release. I found that when I got up and out of the tank at the end of my float session, I just completely felt heavy, very heavy, because you have been weightless for an hour. So for those of you who don't know what a float tank is, it's about 12 inches of water that's filled with 1,000 pounds of magnesium sulfate, so Epsom salts. That's what's diluted into the water to make you float. So you completely float without having to tread water or do anything. There's two versions of it. It's one of them is a pod, so a lid closes. For those of you who are super claustrophobic and that doesn't sit well with you, there's also open tanks. So we have the open version at the Wellness Path. Because we found that, you know, when we were telling people and educating people about the benefits and, you know, the ways you can use these tanks to release depression, anxiety, all these things, we found that people were just not really listening regarding the benefits. They just were focusing on, oh, I would never do that, I'm claustrophobic, like small space, absolutely not. So we kind of changed direction and decided that, hey, maybe we should get a tank. So it's a very, very small room with this tank that you can keep the light on. You don't need to. You can float in the complete darkness. Sensory deprivation would rather you float in the darkness. Mm-hmm. You know, releasing all the sounds, all noises of life. And the water is, we keep it around 97 degrees, so a little bit lower than body temperature, just so that it feels like you're floating through space. You're floating in nothingness.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. So it's really amazing for, you know, releasing anxiety, depression. A lot of people who have bouts of depression are sometimes low in magnesium. And I find a lot of people in our area are low in magnesium. So the skin helps absorb the magnesium in the water, just boosting your mood, releasing fatigue, pretty much anything you need. If like, seriously, you're just having a bit of a crummy day, go for a float. Okay. It's crazy how quickly things can turn around. And I've gotten into such a deep meditation in the tank that I woke up and I was like, because I managed the tank, I was like, oh, you know what? Why are the jets not coming back on? You know, why is the tank broken? And then I realized, I was like, oh, I didn't realize that I had actually only been out for 50 minutes and the jet wasn't coming back on because I still had 10 minutes. But it was one of those things where it's like, oh, I woke up from a nap on a Sunday and I missed the school bus, but I'm like 30 years old and I don't go to school anymore. Like, just that crazy, confused, wow. You know, post sleep, right?
Yeah. That's mm-hmm. amazing. How long are you supposed to do the tank for?
Yeah, so it's, each float session is about an hour.
Okay.
So your whole appointment is technically 90 minutes because you shower. We use the shower, obviously, to get rid of any perfumes, oils, anything, so you completely shower down. But I tell people, basically, it's a way to transition from your busy life. So we use the shower to transition from the outside into our float.
Okay.
Thing when we get out, we shower, we're transitioning, so it's not just, you know, you open the door and bam, right back into life, right?
Okay. Yeah.
So yeah,
that's amazing. Yeah, that's a very cool concept. I definitely want to give it a try. I've seen it come up a few times. I'm like, oh, I really feel like I would enjoy this. I love being in the ocean. To like lay back and just be in the ocean and meditate is amazing to me. But I can also appreciate the people who might be a little claustrophobic and might need to work up to having like a pod close. So I think that's very cool that there's an open concept to it for those who want it. You can leave the light on and maybe it's something they work up to. Maybe, you know, after a few sessions the light comes down but they keep the pod open, and then a few sessions after that they close it and they give that a try too. So
that's like very before cool. I manage the float tank, I would always tell people who do want to try, even if they were claustrophobic, you can keep the light on. You can keep the pod open. You don't have to close it.
Okay.
I found that I benefit a little bit more from the float tank because I found that I got a little bit stuffy in the pods. Okay. And this is just my opinion. This is the way my body works. When I was lying, you know, face up, I start to have breathing problems near the end of my float session. And for me, that's distracting. I completely either go into a deep meditation or completely fall asleep because I can't breathe or can't breathe well.
Okay.
So I find that the air just circulates a little bit better in a float room.
Oh, cool. Okay. Yeah. I definitely want to give this a go. This sounds awesome.
Yeah.
Are there any other health and wellness practices that you incorporate either daily in your life or you try to do on a week-to-week basis?
Yeah, so one of my non-negotiables is some sort of movement because I know how important it is to move and connect with your body in that sense. So one of my non-negotiables is, and it doesn't have to be, you know, an intense workout. I love to dance. I love to do Zumba, Soka size, yoga, obviously. But it doesn't have to be, you know, an hour of super intense cardio workout. You can go for a walk, you can go for a hike, you know, anything. As I said, I love to dance. So sometimes I just have a dance party in my house.
Cool.
That's one of my non-negotiables, move my body. Another non-negotiable is eating properly.
Okay.
And that doesn't mean, you know, you can't have that poutine, you know, in Canada, we love our poutine. So that doesn't mean you can't have that. It's just all about finding balance. And I know you're all about that as well. So that's my non-negotiable. And another non-negotiable, which I sometimes let slip a little bit, and I know I shouldn't, but meditation. So, so good to just find your center, hang out, find some stillness, and check in with yourself. What I tell my students a lot of the time is, how often do you go around asking other people how they're doing? Hey, Megan, how are you? You know, hey, how's it going? We never, ever, ever sit and talk to ourselves that way. How's it going? What do I need to do to make myself happy today?
No, I think it's so important. I meditate daily. That's one of my non-negotiables. And like, I know some people like to journal a lot, or I agree too. I think everybody should find some form of movement every single day, whether it's just walking or taking 10 minutes on your yoga mat or an hour on your yoga mat, run, I don't care, do whatever kind of lights you up and feels good. But meditation is something that I was so against when I first started. And people think that's so funny because I'm like, oh, I meditate every day now for like 20 minutes a day. And when we learned about it in yoga teacher training, I was like, not happening.
Yeah,
like,
right.
I'm not doing that. I don't get the point of it. And even though I knew how good it was and the benefits of it, I was like, nope, just, I can't get the brain to shut up. Like, it's not going to happen. And it was my teacher who said, there's so many different forms of meditation. There's guided meditation. There's, you know, you can use your mala and do like I am statements. There's concentration. Start with 5 minutes.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Like 5 minutes is all you need. And I was like, okay, I can do 5 minutes. And the first 5 minutes were like never ending, but it gets better. And I'm up to 20 minutes a day now. Amazing. But I always incorporate meditation at the end of my classes. And you can see the people who are like when I first started teaching, like they would like roll their eyes. Like they're like, oh my God. Like, because I teach primarily in at a hot studio. So they're there for like a workout. And I get it. I love a good workout. I love a good power flow. But I'm like, how can we make this yoga as well? So like my classes always incorporate a breathing exercise at the start. We always do like a check-in with how our body is feeling and what's going through the mind. Then we like, I'll make you sweat for a good 40, 60 minutes.
Of course, I don't doubt that.
But at the end, like we're taking 10 minutes and we're doing a meditation. I'll usually guide them through a meditation just because I find it's the easiest for people to get used to. But I also make them lie there in Shavasana. And it's not the case with a lot of teachers. Usually they'll like leave the room and people are up and out of their mat before the door has even closed. And I'm like, no, we live in a world where it's so chaotic and it's so go, go. 10 minutes to just lay there and be calm and be in the moment is, it's not going to kill you. In fact, it's probably going to do a lot of good for you.
Yeah. You know, as people, we tend to, I explain to my students almost like a gravel driveway, that water has, you know, made a few gullies. And yeah. So it's really hard for that water to choose a different path. Mm-hmm. As it kind of goes down the driveway. So it keeps going down over and over again, and that same path makes a bigger groove. And that's how our brains work as well. You know, adults, we don't like to change things up. We don't like to do things that is out of our comfort zone and off our little gully. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times what I'll tell people is even the smallest little behavioral change sets you up for maybe bigger behavioral changes. So, you know, instead of brushing your teeth tonight with your right hand, switch to your left.
That's what I refer to too. It's so good.
Yeah. So you can really see how the brain's like, whoa, wait, this is not what we usually do, right? Yeah. And then it starts to create new patterns. So if you start small, a lot of times it'll be easier to establish those bigger patterns.
Yeah. That's so funny that that's what you use too. I see it too. And people are like, man, like I was so clumsy. Like I couldn't figure out how to do it. And it's, you know, it's also, you know, getting the other side of the brain to move, and it's not automatic anymore. You have to think about like, oh God, okay. Yeah. I have to brush them like this. And
yeah,
it's funny because I never appreciated this before, but my father used to make my brother and I do things differently. Mm. So we always walk the same way to the store. And then he would be like, okay, we're going to walk this way. And it would be like,
what?
That's not the right way. That's not the regular way. And, you know, he would be like, no, we're going to switch it up. Or yeah, we play baseball and he'd be like, okay, start throwing with the other hand. And it would be like, what do you mean? Like,
that's strange.
What do you mean? Right? The other hand. And you're like, no, this hand. Mm. So yeah, it's so good for the brain to kind of get a workout.
Yeah.
It's the same with meditation. It's a workout for the brain.
Absolutely. And I think a lot of people are challenged also by being with their own thoughts for that amount of time. A lot of times we become so busy, and I think we suppress our traumas and dramas and don't really allow ourselves to work things out. And I mean, one of my complete idols, Sean Horn. She does a lot of things to do with, you know, trauma. Mm-hmm. And she says that trauma is held at a cellular level. Yep. And the things that we think we've let go of are actually still hiding out. So a lot of work needs to be done in the body as well as in the mind to completely let go of, you know, and anything that comes up. So it can be, we think of traumas a lot of the time as, you know, something awful that happens, a divorce, a death, you know, losing a child. But, and while those are absolutely, they have such a huge effect on us, we don't talk about the small day-to-day dramas and traumas. Like somebody cuts you off on the 401 and all of a sudden, you know, you get up in arms, but you don't properly allow yourself to let that go. It stays with you. Or, you know, this podcast didn't go well between you and I. Now I remember that. And every time you come up in my Facebook feed, there's something going on, right?
Yeah.
So we don't allow ourselves to release a lot of things that happen day to day that we don't think are huge problems, but all of a sudden they become problems when enough of them have built up. So in yoga, sometimes we, you know, pretzel ourselves up into shapes or asanas that could be a little bit uncomfortable or create sensation, but we're creating that tension in order to be able to let it go.
Yeah, I think that's so beautiful. And it's amazing to see the people that doing a yoga pose or a certain sequence, it releases so much. And I've noticed people beside me like bawling their eyes out with certain poses and
hip openers, shoulder openers.
Yeah, it's amazing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So do you have any tips or advice for someone who is brand new to the practice? They want to try this thing called yoga, but they don't really know where to start.
Yeah. So, I mean, I deal with this all the time. People who are maybe a little bit nervous to step onto their mat because my favorite line is I'm not flexible enough. And I'm like,
why do you yoga? Yeah.
And I basically tell them that yoga is, you know, flexibility is a byproduct of yoga. Mm-hmm. You start practicing yoga and then you become flexible. Yeah. If you can't touch your toes, I really don't care. Again, it sounds so cliche, but it's about what you learn on the way down.
Yep.
It's about what you learn on your mat, not, you know, if you can stand on your head. Like, I don't care. Yoga doesn't care. Nobody else cares. And I'll also tell my students, like, comparing two human bodies is like comparing apples and oranges. It just doesn't work. Somebody's going to have the strength in, you know, an arm balance, and then another person can completely fold forward. So it's one of those things where yoga is about living your best life, being aware of your patterns, being aware of how you react in day-to-day life. It's not just about, you know, stepping on your mat and touching your toes. Basically what I do tell new people is step on your mat, just arrive, and then the rest happens.
So good. That was almost like a mic drop worthy ending to this podcast, but I have one more thing to go through with you. That was beautiful though. Thank you so much for sharing that. And I'm in the same boat. Like just get on your mat. If you do 5 minutes of yoga, all the power to you. Maybe the next time you try 7, right? It will.
Shavasana and breathe for the entire 60 minutes while everybody moves around you. That's still doing yoga.
Exactly. Oh, so good. So good. Okay, so I have something that I've been doing kind of recently. It's so much fun. You're going to love it. It's called the speed round questions. So all it's right. Not as fast as you can answer, but one word or one sentence answers. Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm. What's a podcast, book, or resource you would recommend to our audience?
Oh, man. There's so many. you know what? I first started on my yoga journey because I know this is not just one word.
That's okay.
My one word will be yoga-mazing.
Okay.
Yeah. So basically I started on my yoga journey. I didn't have a lot of cash to spend on classes. So I started to go online and, I was on iTunes. I found this guy, Chad, and basically that's where my yoga journey took off in university. So
love
I would
it.
Say YouTube or check out Yoga Amazing. Something
amazing. Like that. That's perfect. That's amazing. Thank you for that.
Long-winded, but
that's okay. No, good. Who's your favorite influencer or person to look up to for inspiration?
Sean Korn, 100%.
Yeah, she's awesome. And I have to prefer this since some people are like, oh, Sean Korn, who is he? It's like, no, she's a girl. She's awesome.
He
Yeah.
is fantastic.
Yeah.
She's dealt with a lot of addiction in her life. In the earlier stages of her life, things were not perfect for her. And so she's really grown. She's influenced so many people. She's a world-renowned, yoga teacher. I've had the absolute amazing opportunity to practice with her three
Ooh.
different times. And oh my goodness. She's awesome.
Oh, so good. Amazing. What are you grateful for today?
I'm grateful for movement.
So good. What is your spirit animal?
Can I say Sean Korn?
Yes, that would be acceptable.
I'm such a fangirl, but my spirit animal, anything rescued.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
Okay, so good. And then, what is your favorite style of yoga asana to practice?
I'm a huge fan of vinyasas, just
Yeah.
flowy movement. My favorite asana would probably be Natarjasana, dancer's pose.
Oh, yeah, that's very suiting, though. I love
Yeah.
it. So good. Thank you so much for coming onto the podcast today. It has been so much fun to chat with you. Where can everybody go and find you if they want to connect online with you or if they're in the area and they want to check out one of your classes?
You can find me on Instagram and Facebook. Facebook is just my name, Steph Wood. My Instagram is Steph Wood Yoga. And I'm also affiliated with In the Spirit Yoga, and that's in Scarborough, Ontario. You can connect at let's connect at inthespirityoga.com. That's their email. You can also visit their website, inthespirit.com. I'm also affiliated with that multidisciplinary wellness center called The Wellness Path in Bowmanville, and that's www.wellnesspath.ca, as well as info@wellnesspath.ca.
Perfect. If anyone is driving, they're walking, practicing handstand, I will make sure this is all linked in the show notes for them.
Perfect.
Thank you so much for being on the show.
It was such a pleasure talking to you and just getting to connect with you.
Thank you to my guest, Steph, for being on the show. If you haven't done so already, please take a moment to rate and review the show, as well as share the podcast with others. Your support truly does make a difference in growing the show and the community. Make sure you stop by and say hi on social media. Share this podcast episode by taking a screenshot of it and sharing it on your Instagram stories. You can tag me at Balanced by Megan, tag the show at BYL Podcast, and tag our guest so we can make sure that we share it out on our Instagram stories as well. With that, I hope you have an amazing rest of your week, and I will see you next Monday. Namaste.